it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
All right, coming up, game number 88 in the regular season. After that, a couple of days off as we take the All-Star break. And today, the Orioles are looking for a second consecutive victory. Wade Miley last night giving up one run in 5 1/3 innings. And Ubaldo Jimenez here today will try and continue his dominance at Target Field. The skipper, Buck Showalter, right after this. Well, Orioles again at Target Field. Finale, the first half here against the Minnesota Twins. Now, next week, after the All-Star break, Camden Yards, hey, might see Chris Davis. He's on his way back. Skip?
Going into the rehab assignment, what's the most important thing? Is it getting the at-bats, getting the swings, getting the timing? Or?
I think just getting back into the game flow. Actually playing defense. Just the game itself, you know, playing the game. Ups, innings, you know. Where would you hit him? First, second, or third? How about here? second, or third. We'll see.
Is the idea for him to play 9 innings? Or?
I'm going to talk to him a little bit today. I'm sure it'll probably be 3-4 bats, 7-8 innings, something like that.
So you have an idea of what the rotation is going to be like coming out of the break?
Yeah, we'll just wait and see if there's anything thrown at us today from the work days and Ubaldo, but got a pretty good idea. We know Bundy's fifth.
Right.
It'll probably be Gausman first day back, where everybody gets the proper rest benefit. Probably Miley the second day. We want Tillman to get the benefit of 2 work days and let him throw a couple times. He's had so much off time. So I imagine Chris will probably be fourth. But we'll see. See how things go today. See if there's anything gets. Don't want to get too far ahead of it and have to change a bunch of stuff.
I think you kind of mentioned a little bit yesterday, it's just when with Mancini, and obviously he's had, you know, it wasn't that long ago when he was, you know, one of the last guys to make the team, you know, in spring training. But when you look at his first half and kind of everything that's kind of been thrown at him and the way he's handled it, are you pretty, you know, happy with the whole kind of body of work with Trey?
Oh, sure.
Sure. And I've said many times that that's a reminder to us that sometimes these guys come so fast. I don't think there's anybody in the big leagues with a better track record than in kind of the way it used to be done by developing players. And nowadays, guys get rushed so much because there's such a need up here so quickly, especially with the 10-day DL. I think you're going to see the dynamics of the off season's kind of acquisition of players changed because people are going to realize that, you know, this 10-day DL, you're constantly going to be bringing players back and forth. But, Trey's been good, especially if you think about, you know, playing a new position, really new positions. And, it's going to probably change for him again after the All-Star break. So, he's handled everything that's been thrown at him. Biggest challenge is Major League pitching. He's done well. I mean, I'm really happy with him. He cares. And you see certain guys and you wonder if they get comp and get established, if that'll go away. I don't think you feel that way about Trey. I think he's gonna grind everything. He cares.
He's talked a lot about just kind of utilizing the resources that he has at the major level in terms of coaches and just having discussions with them. Just from talking to him, I mean, you know him better, but that he is a listener, and then he's a guy that absorbs everything and takes advantage.
Yeah, you find out too that you got to be careful about giving him too much. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like there's a way to do things. That's why a lot of people that haven't been down in clubhouses and lockers and dugouts and on the field, that there's a way to approach guys. Everybody's different. You know, he makes a couple of where to throw the ball mistakes. You don't walk up to him in the dugout after. He knows exactly what happened. Yeah, you wait. I wait a day or so. Just kind of walk by him during BP. Hey, walk me through your thinking there. He's got a thing where, you know, he's trying to play where we want him to play. But the runners up here will block your eyesight on purpose. And, it doesn't matter where you play if you can't see the ball. So you got to get someplace where you can see the ball when it comes off the bat. And, just talking about little things like that. And, your confidence can ebb defensively, too, up here. You got to be careful. So, and every player is different. Some guys, they want immediate feedback, and they want that. And some guys that are fine moving on to the next at bat. You know, something happened. It's only a problem if it happens again. Trey's been a quick learner. He holds himself to a high standard.
Okay, that's the skipper, Buck Showalter. Mentioned Chris Davis after the All-Star break back at Camden Yards. That is a distinct possibility. We'll find out more when Jim Hunter visits with Chris Davis when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Orioles close out the four-game series in Minnesota and then head into the All-Star break. Chris Davis will be busy on the break playing some rehab games. But, Chris, you have a big event coming up Thursday at home, the final day of the break, Crushes Homers. Tell us about that and what it benefits and how it's going to go.
Yeah, so we basically got together at the end of last year and decided to partner with the University of Maryland Hospital and decided earlier this year that we wanted to do some sort of event to raise money, to raise awareness for their cardiovascular program in their children's unit. And basically what we're going to do is have a home run derby on the field at Camden, give guys and girls a chance to take some swings, see if they can hit a home run. I think we're going to have a smaller area set up for some of the little, the smaller kids. And basically we just want to get out there and have a good time and like I said, just raise awareness for what they're doing at the hospital and their cardiovascular program and really a lot of the progressive stuff that they're doing. So I know my wife is excited and I am as well to get out there and see everybody.
Now, I understand this is going to be a legit home run derby. I mean, you even have Jet Ruiz, one of the Orioles' batting practice pitchers. He's going to pitch. He told me he's going to throw sliders to try to get the guys to swing and miss. But this is the real deal, so really a unique experience for fans.
Yeah, we when we started talking about ways that we could you know, give back or have some sort of we had talked about a carnival-type atmosphere. Jill actually brought up the idea of a home run derby, and I thought it was a great idea, but I didn't want it to be, you know, kind of a halfway, right, you know, whether we were going to start it behind second base or what it was going to look like. So we ended up deciding, hey, if we're going to charge people money to get in here and take some swings, like, they might as well have a chance to hit a home run in Camden Yards. And, you know, it's a great hitter's park. Everybody knows that. But I think it'll just be a cool experience for fans to get in the box and see how tough it really is.
Now, the other aspect of this, and this is something fans will enjoy as well, the team, the Orioles, actually will get together on Thursday, final day of the All-Star break, and go through a team practice or workout on the field. Anyone who's attending the Crushes Homers for Hearts will be able to attend that. So that's something that fans normally don't see, and that's going to be a full practice where there'll be infield and outfield practice, not just BP. So that's another unique experience that adds to this.
Yeah, I mean, we tried to, you know, think of any way that we could spin it to where it was kind of a an original idea, you know, something that they don't get to see and be a part of every day. And, you know, obviously we'll have our workout and we'll go over some of our team stuff kind of privately. And then once we go out on the field, it'll be a cool chance for fans to kind of see what we do to get back into the swing of things after the All-Star break and just kind of see what a regular workout looks like for us.
You're a man of stature as a star on the Orioles. You could have gotten involved really in any charity you wanted to. Why did you pick this, and why are the children and what they're going through so important to you and Jill?
Well, my wife is a registered nurse. She worked in a hospital in Texas called Texas Scottish Rite Children's Hospital, and basically ever since I've been in touch with her, with going up to her work and seeing her and kind of getting a chance to meet some of those kids, you really realize that, you know, obviously there are a lot of people that have illnesses and things that they can't control, but when you see a kid who has so much life ahead of them, kind of being dealt the hand that they're dealt and what they're going through, you want to do anything you can to help them. And like I said, we met with the hospital late last fall, and we were just really excited about the people that they had working, and really some of the things that they were doing are pretty incredible. They're state of the art in this. Basically what they do is they build a chamber of their heart. They've done it for a three-month-old little girl that we actually got to meet, and she was basically born without one of the chambers of her heart, and they built her one, and put it in her and it works, like it's functioning, and it's just things like that we thought were really cool and something that, you know, not everybody's doing. So we just fell in love with the people and the kids at the hospital and wanted to do whatever we could to help them out.
And I know in terms of helping children, I mean, I have three grown healthy children. You have a young child who's very healthy, and that's the thing. That's a blessing to have that. And if there's somebody else who's struggling or scuffling and you can help, you know, we really should be doing that, and it's a credit to you that you do it.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I've been very fortunate to have an extremely healthy child, and unfortunately, I've had several friends that have had kids with birth defects or health problems, and you know, it's tough to watch. Obviously, to see a kid go through that, but for me, it was, you know, really kind of eye opening to see just how taxing it is on the parents to have to you know, drive them back and forth from the hospital to be under the stress, not knowing whether their child was, you know, going to live for another year or 10 years or what it was going to be. So, yeah, anything that we can do to help, obviously we're game for that. And like I said, we're both really excited about this event.
Well, hopefully this will be the beginning of something big, maybe an annual event, because, again, it's all about calling attention to the cause and then it takes off.
Absolutely. And we felt like this was a good time to kind of kick it off. And like you said, we want it to be an annual thing. We want it to be something that is expected every year, something that people start getting excited about and look forward to, and hopefully this one goes well and it'll be the first of many.
Jim Hunter back at Target Field, where the Orioles earn a four-game series split. They lost the first two and they win the last two, so the Birds hit the All-Star break on a two-game winning streak. Time for the highlights of this game, and the Orioles got it going early in the first. Seth Smith led off. He drew a walk after Machado was called out on strikes. Scope would single to center field, so two on with one down. And that got Adam Jones for the play. Jones had not homered since June the 24th. He was about to change that.
Adam, fly ball, left center. Way back there. Wave it bye-bye. That ball was long gone. Adam Jones, a three-run home run in the first inning. And it was a no-doubter. Number 14 for Mr. Jones. It's a 3-0 Oriole lead.
Yeah, for Jones, it went 452 feet for the first row and the second deck out in deep left center field. So Adam broke the streak of 52 consecutive at-bats without a home run, and the Orioles had an early 3-0 lead. Now in the second, the Birds would add to that. Hyunsoo Kim drew a leadoff walk, and Caleb Joseph came to the plate in a pesky at-bat, and on the 12th pitch, Caleb put the ball in play.
There goes Kim. Here's the pitch. Line drive, right field, slicing in the corner. It's a fair ball. It's in the corner. Kim to third, and he's being waved in. And the no relay. The cutoff man holds the relay. Kim scores standing. Caleb winds up at second base on a 12th pitch double to pick up an RBI. 4-0 Orioles.
Yeah, the Orioles weren't done. With Caleb at second base and nobody down, Ruben Tejada laid down a sacrifice bunt, and that got Seth Smith to the plate, and Smith would deliver.
Gibson, he delivers. Smith, line drive, base hit, right field. So here comes Caleb. He scores, and the ball back into second base. Smith cashes in. 5-0 Orioles in the second inning.
And we went to the bottom of the second, and Ubaldo, who had a very easy first inning, would struggle in the second inning and allow the Twins to get right back in the game. It all started when Kenny Vargas led off, and he was hit by a pitch. But Rosario then struck out, and Polanco popped foul to Machado down the third base line. So two outs, the runner at first. And then Ubaldo lost the strike zone. He walked Jimenez, then he walked Zach Grant at the number 9 batter, and the bases were loaded with two men down. That got Brian Dozier to the plate. Dozier walked. That forced in a run. That made it a 5-1 game. Bases still loaded, and Robbie Grossman came up for Minnesota.
Line drive, base hit, left field. That will drive in one. It will drive in two. The ball back into second base. That's a two-run single to make it 5-3. In the second inning.
But the Twins weren't done, as Max Kepler came up and he contributed in what became a four-run rally.
Line drive, right field corner. That's a base hit. That's going to be extra bases. So Granite comes in. Dozier to third. He's going to be held up right there. The ball back in. Scope holds it. And now it's a one-run game. It is 5-4 on a double by Kepler.
But Ubaldo would get out of it. He got Sano on a ground out, a hard hit ball that deflected off Ubaldo to the shortstop Tejada. He got it to first. So Minnesota did score four to make it a 5-4 game, but they left runners at second and third in that second inning rally. Now the Orioles would add to their lead in the sixth. And again, it was Adam Jones who got it going as he led off in that inning against the starter Kyle Gibson.
Adam drills it to deep left. Gone if it's fair. Way back in the corner into the second deck. My goodness. Adam Jones, his second home run today. This one is a solo. That was a rocket. The first one traveled 452. That one was gone instantaneously. And it's now a two-run game. Orioles ahead 6-4.
So Adam Jones, who went 52 at-bats without a home run and went 44 at-bats without an RBI, hit two home runs in this game. He also had a sac fly later in the game. So for Adam, a five RBI game. But the Orioles weren't done in that fifth inning. Trumbo would signal that Chase Gibson. On came Duffy. Mancini reached on an infield hit. After Hyun-Soo Kim grounded out to first, advancing the runners, Caleb Joseph came up, and another big at-bat for Caleb.
Caleb digs in. 2-1 the count. Here it comes. A looper, shallow right center. That ball dropping. That's a base hit. Trumbo is in. Mancini being waved in. Here's the throw. It is cut off in the middle of the infield. So Caleb Joseph, a blooper to drive in two. It is now 8-4 Baltimore in the fifth inning.
And the Orioles would add another in the fifth on an RBI double by Ruben Tejada. Ubaldo eventually would pitch five innings. He allowed the four runs in the second inning, but nothing more. And a high pitch count got him. He was at 103 pitches at the end of five. So Buck Showalter went to the bullpen. Richard Blyer came on 2 2/3. He allowed an unearned run as Miguel Sano reached on an error by Tejada in the eighth. Castro came on, got the final out of the eighth. Zach Britton came on for another inning of work, his second appearance since coming off the disabled list. He got Zach Granite on a ground out, Escobar the pinch hitter on a ground out, and that got Robbie Grossman to the plate in the ninth, but the Orioles one out away from a split.
Britton trying to get it to the All-Star game. There's a breaking ball. A half swing and a miss struck him out. Indeed, Britton comes in, gets him 1-2-3 with a strikeout to send us into the All-Star break. Orioles back in the win column. It is their second consecutive victory. So those days off around the All-Star break, hey, they're going to be a lot of fun now. We hope you enjoy it too.
So the Orioles win it by the final of 11-5. Jim Hunter at Target Field. The Orioles beat Minnesota by the final of 11-5. So the Birds win the final two games in this series. They head into the All-Star break on a two-game winning streak with a record of 42-46. Big day today for Adam Jones. He broke the long home run drought and had a five RBI afternoon. Following the game, Adam was the post-game guest on Masson with Gary Thorne and Jim Palmer.
Adam, congratulations on a fine ball game. Swings looked really good. You hit the ball hard today, and you finish the way you want to with a couple of wins, huh?
You see what happens when you close your eyes and swing?
Is that it?
Hey, sometimes you just got to just go for the luck of the draw and close them eyes and swing as hard as you can.
Why don't I believe you?
I don't know. True, I'm telling you. Sometimes you think, man, sometimes it's not a good thing when it comes to baseball. You could have a Harvard degree, but I don't mean nothing when it's coming to hitting a baseball. So close my eyes and let it rip.
Well, we know you didn't close your eyes, but you go over
it. I've seen it quite well.
Okay, well, you ought to do that more often because it worked the next time, and it also worked on the sacrifice fly. Let's talk about the ball club. And I've been watching this club for a long, long time, and they haven't played up to their capabilities. You're getting everybody back after the All-Star break. I 78 games. I said probably, well, if you go 50-28, you're going to be right in the race. Is this club capable of having a run kind of like you did last year in the first half playing better?
I think we really are. And obviously, you know, the last 2 months have not been typical of how we've played the last few years. So just need to, I think, get away from the game mentally, everybody. I know Scope's going to the All-Star game, so I'm really proud of him. I hope he gets in the game and able to impact the game. But I think everybody needs to get away from the game and come back in the second half ready to go, ready to just give it all we got. You know, the focus is going to have to be there because all these teams in our division and across baseball, nobody's slowing down. Everybody's trying to put their foot on your throat. So it's time for us to, heal up and get back on that saddle.
for the Orioles pitching again, Adam, that's it. I mean, you got to have the starters. It's still been inconsistent. Do you see that? Enough of that coming for the second half?
Well, it starts with the starters. And he said, I play center field. Last time I started a game on the mound was my senior year in high school, and that was 14, 15 years ago. So I don't know that part. All I know is that when they attack the zone and use the great defense that we have, we generally are in a good situation. So that's my only message to them, just attack that zone. I mean, it's hard enough to hit, so just attack the zone and use us.
All right. Hey, well, enjoy the All-Star game. Kayaking or, you know, maybe little windsurfing or anything like that?
Ooh, I'm going 10 toes up and relaxing.
Okay. I'm with you.
I'm going to hang out with my kids, man.
Yeah, okay, have a great time.
Hey, right, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right.
All right, so Adam Jones, a 5 RBI game, a post-game guest on Masson. Time to hear from the skipper now. Let's head downstairs. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
Buck, I know there's still another half to go, but how nice is it to have a couple wins under your belt going into this break?
You know, it's been obviously a challenge. This is our fifth city, counting Baltimore, and our guys have come out with these two-day games against a really good club and finish playing two good baseball games. That's encouraging. And these guys, you know, hope they get far away from it and kind of recharge your batteries a little bit. It's been a challenging 2 weeks for us.
Look, how encouraging was it for you when, you know, again, the lead kind of slips away a little bit and then your guys come back and kind of extend the lead?
Well, I thought Ubaldo was good. I thought, obvious reasons, he deserved a better fate. And so did, I thought, you know, we were hunting balls today. And for both sides, and it was a challenge for him. You don't ever see him get that frustrated with it, and put the hole in there at 5. That was a game he deserved to win, and Richard's done a really good job for us here in the last month. He's really stepped forward in the time of need. But you knew in this park they're a good team, and you better stay on top of them, or they'll slip back in the game.
Yes, you've seen Zach look since he's been back.
Yeah, that was one of the most encouraging things about today was us warming up. You noticed it, and just a better feel. You know, it's important. He needs to pitch. We were pitching him. We've been pitching him every other day. He's going to throw on Tuesday at Camden Yards and light one on Thursday and get back at it. If we can get him back in the picture, that'd be big for us.
Just kind of big picture here going into the break. Obviously, this first half hasn't necessarily gone the way you guys have wanted it to, but
parts of it have, very much so.
But the way that, you know, going into the second half, and I know you've talked a lot about, you know, getting guys back and things just starting to kind of go your way a little bit. And you're still optimistic going in after this rest?
Well, I'm always optimistic. I haven't talked about getting guys back. You know, I don't get involved in that. It's part of it. You know, the guys that were picking up slack for, whether it be a Flaherty or Britton or Hardy, or, you know, that's a great opportunity they need to take advantage of. But, we finished on a high note. There's a lot of good things that happened. I try to dwell on that too, but also have a sense of reality about some things that are going to have to get better.
Nice to have the bottom of the order contribute the way it did as well. Caleb, 3 more RBIs, and Ruben, having 3 hits today.
I thought our guys had a lot of want today. You know, they jumped out early and kept going after it. You could tell they went in on a good note. And, John, wishing him well at the All-Star game. You know, he's a very deserving representative of us on a lot of sides of it. But, Tejada had a big day offensively, and, you know, we the runs that were there for us to score, we took advantage of. A lot of times you leave those out there. A lot of good professional at-bats.
Like you mentioned Blyer a little bit, you know, how important has he been the past month for you guys?
Well, that was one of the things that was attractive to him when he was available, was the ability to defend himself against right and left, and also give us multiple innings. It's unusual to have that. It's one of the things McFarland did for us when he was with us. But he's also shown the ability to pitch in shorter roles too.
Post-game comments of Buck Showalter as the Orioles get this win today to split this 4-game series, and they hit the All-Star break having won back-to-back games.